This should be Roshim for my father-in-law, Yecheskel Afega, who's in the hospital. And also, this is the name I have. These are names that I have for Shpachat Rimmel. Ephraim Tzvi Moshe Ben Shulamis Tzvia. And Itay Yaakov Ben Sipora. You know, that terrible traffic accident that was on last... Was it last Motzei Shabbos? When was it? Last Motzei Shabbos?
Mm. Yeah. Still no, I didn't hear about this.
443, we call it... I know the grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar's terrible thing. His daughter-in-law was killed, the young baby was killed, and his son is in a serious condition, and another grandson is in critical condition, and they're sitting in Shari Tzedek. So she never forced them, but these are the names I have for them, and I hope they're right. Okay. So it's Tomos. Okay. This is Vayitzi Yaakov Yerushava Vayilech Chorona. Vayifka Bamakom Vayolin Sham Kivah Hashemesh Vayikach Miavnei Hamakom Vayasem Mirashosav Vayishkav Bamakom Hahu. So Sfasemes says Vayifka Bamakom Vayikach Miavnei Hamakom. The Medrash Pegiya Zutvila. Right, the Medrash brings it right. The Lashon Pegiya, right, is the Lashon of Tvila, and we all know. And then a Kodesh Baruch Hu, recall, then the Yaakov was mispalo, right? Vayifka b'mokom, right? He's mispalo, and then the Medrash continues. Mipnei ma mechanim shmo shel Kodesh Baruch Hu mokom, right? And there's the experience, right, of his coming to this mokom, this place, the Mikdash, reveals that what he called that Hashem's name is called mokom. B'neimah mechanim, or the kinui to Hashem's name is Mokom. Shu Mokom shel Olam. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mokom shel Olam. V'ze yisod ha-tfila. This is the fundamental building block of tfila. Koshakosu chazal, lo'olim misadar adam shvachol shel Mokom v'achachak yispalo. Ki ikar avoda shel tfila levarer ki hu Mokom shel Olam. Right, in other words, that's what Chazal say, that before you exercise your bakoshos, the first thing is you have to be misadar shvachos shel makom. In other words, the goal of tefila is to understand. Right, the goal of tefila is what he called is to establish. Right. The relationship with Hashem, that he's Mekomo Shel Olam. Mekomo Shel Olam. It's like Rav Kook says, everybody caught, he says it in many different places, but in one place in particular, he says on the Gemara in Brachos, that says that, why do we say Yehu L'Ratzonim Refi, Egilni Bidl Fanech Hashem Tzriv Goli, at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, right? And the idea being, the question is if I want to be successful in my tefillah, in other words, what I want is I want Hashem to respond to me. That's the ikar, is I need this, I need that, I need the next thing. If that's the ikar of tefillah, so why don't we say Yul Ratzon before, right? Why wait till afterwards? Yul Ratzon Im Refi, I want my tefillah to be effective. Right, we say Hashem Sfas HaTivtach Ofi Yitil Asecha, open my lips, that's good, but now a special tefillah, my tefillah should be effective. Yul Ratzon Im Refi. They go, we should say before. So the Gemara answers, because the Pasuk Yul Ratzon appears after 18 Prakim and Tillim. So that just sort of like begs the question. So why is that? So Rav Kook says, he says, because we have to realize that the Iker of Tefillah is to, what he called, is to have an effect on the person post the Tefillah. In other words, the experience of tefillah is not I enter into a unique relationship with Hashem so that I will cause Hashem to give me what I want, right? The cosmic Coke machine, right? In other words, but let's get the situation set up so I can keep on pressing the button until I finally get my cherry Coke, right? The idea of tefillah is if anything, our issues exist so it will be mispalel. Right, so that we should create that relationship of recognizing that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shel Olam, right? And in Chrami, it's the kilu positive reinforcement that we call it, that Hashem responds to our tefillah. But it's positive reinforcement in order so that the goal should be achieved, that we should recognize that Hashem is Mekomo Shel Olam. So that's what he's saying over here. He says that's what it means. The Iker of the Avodah Shel Tefillah is to conclude that Hashem is Mekom Shel Olam. So it's true that Hashem does respond to us. Right? Of course, He does. That's what Tefillah is. But it's not as though, you know, it's not as though, God forbid, because Baruch Hu creates the world, and we have a situation, you know, where things are difficult, and, you know, there's the Rebbe Moshe saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do here in terms of the human predicament? Right, Watson, do you have any suggestions? Oh, I know, we'll give them prayer, right? That's ridiculous. V'zeo v'yikach me'avnei ha'mokom. So it's so interesting. V'yikach me'avnei ha'mokom, kmo shekosuv, she'osius nikru avonim. Sefer Yetzirah, right, which is ascribed to Avram Avinu, right, tells us that the osios of the Aleph Beis are called avonim. They're the building blocks of the universe, the building blocks of reality, I should say. So then, what did Yaakov do? First, vayifka b'makom, he was mispal and revealed that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shel Olam. Who Mekomo Shel Olam? Right? Once a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shel Olam, that means that Hashem's will is, and this is still Sfasemistic, right, is embedded in everything, right?
Right.
And then, recall, then you collect the Avnei HaMakom, the Osios of the Makom, and you build with that. In other words, Tefillah is what creates the record, creates the backdrop, upon the healthy backdrop, upon which a person, yes, now engages in Torah and Mitzvos in the Olam, right? Once you realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shel Olam, and therefore recall all of the Avnei HaMakom, all the what are the Avnei HaMakom, the real Avnei HaMakom, are not really called, not the basalt, and really called the granite, and really called the Avnei HaMakom, the Iker Avnei HaMakom, not even the molecules and the atoms, right? The Iker Avnei HaMakom are the osios of the Torah. So then you collect the Avnei HaMakom, and you build with them. That's how a Jew goes through life. Again, he would record, he goes through his temporal life, but as he goes through his temporal life, he picks up the stones, right, the osios. He may be having to pick up the physical stones as well, but really what he's picking up as he picks up the physical stones of creation, he's really reaching to raise up the stones of the Sefer Yetzirah, the Avonim, the osios of the Aleph Beis, the osios of the Torah. וזהו יסוד התפילה כמו שכוסף חזב לעול מסעד הרם שפוח ושמוק ואחך יספל כי איקר עבור של תפילה לבר כי הוא מקום של עולם וזהו ויקח מאבני המקום כמו שכוסף שהאוסיוס נקרו אבונים והטעם כי הכל נברא וחוף בייז אספן די רייס right? That's Lashon Zohar. ואבן נקרא היסוד של הבניין right? The Avonim are the foundation of the entire structure. וכל מקום נמצא יסוד ואבן Shall zen nivra oso adavar, right? Everything has yisod upon which is built, right? And so therefore, at the foundation of everything that we see in the world are the avonim. And what avonim? The osios of what we call of the Torah. Vayikach, hu k'mo shekoso v'torah lekach tov nasati lachem, v'yosem loshen sidur, right? To arrange. He arranges everything. Yaakov b'chol makom motza hayesod v'shorash even shukoach elokus shenimtza sham. Right, and that's Yaakov. That's why Yaakov is the bechir sheba avos. Talk about this before. Let's continue here.
So the stones,
he gathered the stones.
He made letters out of the stones?
No, but he took the physical stones, he put them around his head. But the symbolism over here is that after tefillah creates the canvas upon which you draw, yeah, the picture of life through the Torah. Tefillah is what creates the. In other words, the his coming to what he called to the Mokom Hamikdash, being mispalel vayifka b'mokom, and he recognized that Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekom Shel Olam, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything is existing only within His will, And now he takes the Avnei HaMakom, like the Sefer Yetzirah says, that the Osos and Aleph Beis are called Avonim. They're called Avonim. Why? Because just as you build with Avonim, so too, the fundamental, the most fundamental building blocks of creation, of reality, are what he called the letters of the Aleph Beis. So now he collects those stones. Because after he's come to what he called, after he's come to Hakara, recognition that Kodesh Baruch Hu was Makomo Shel Olam through his tefillah, and in that state, now he collects the stones, and now he's going to build. What he's going to build, he's going to build the Torah, because in other words, in every, like, and so Svasemistic, right? That in every event there is what he calls the underlying stone of the oath of the Aleph Beis, the what he called the ruts on the wheel of Hashem, the Torah that needs to be revealed in any given situation, in any given different place, in any given experience, etc., etc. She's Ve'evan, right? Svasemistic. In the middle line there. Ve'evan, third line. Ve'evan nikra ha'yisod shel abinyan. The Evan, once again, is like the foundation. It's the foundation of the building. V'chomakom nimtzi yesod, and every place has got a yesod. The Evan shalzeh nivra oso davar. In other words, the underlying thing that needs to be revealed or to be used or to be built with in any event, experience, etc., place, whatever it happens to be, are the letters, the Aleph Beis that are there, right? Vayikach.
A little bit unclear.
When the guy cuts you off, right, on the highway, right? When the guy cuts you off on the highway, right? So when he cuts me off on the highway, why stick it on you, right? Right? And so your first reaction is, okay, I'm going to chase this guy down with my lights flashing, like, and my hand on the horn, what do you call it, you know, et cetera. Right, that's called road rage, et cetera. Okay? So that, at that point...
You come from Los Angeles, you shoot him.
Right. So, God forbid. So at that point, that's what it's called, that is dealing only with the superficial experience, right? But there are avanim...
Superficial of what?
Hello? The superficial experience is you let your anger, you're going to go react to the event
that it was created by God, and therefore
I stand, but you could either deal with the external part of it, or you could realize that right now what I need to do is I need to search, yeah, for what are the avonim, what are the what do you call the building blocks of the Torah that are built into this experience that I'm meant to uncover, that I'm meant to build with, i.e., to control my anger. I.e., that it's childish and immature to what he called to put your hand on the horn and chase the guy down, etc. Because what is that going to accomplish? God forbid you can even cause chalil v'chas, what he called an accident, what he called as well, or you throw, you know, what he called, I shouldn't, whatever. God forbid.
Rocks were not any special rocks.
No, not special rocks. In other words, he's taking the rocks, but then there's the symbolism in the rocks. He took physical rocks.
Right.
Took physical rocks, but the idea is that the upon the backdrop of understanding that Hashem is Mekomo Shel Olam, mm-hmm. right, which was the act of tefillah that he engaged in, now he's prepared. Now you're walking around in a state of consciousness that Hashem is the Mekomo of the world,
right?
And not that Hashem is just one more thing in the world, but He is the Mekomo of the world. So now as you go from place to place, where am I going to be in touch with what you call with the real truth, with the will of Hashem in everything that's happening here? A person doesn't want to be stupid. He doesn't want to be superficial.
So why do you take rocks and sleep on them?
No. The rocks are again the symbols of the what we call the osios of the Aleph Beis of the Torah that's embedded into this. What does the Torah want from me over here?
So you want them to sleep on the foundation.
Are you asking this seriously? Or you're
just, really?
What do you mean? He's collecting the rocks. He's collecting and putting what we call the symbolism of taking the rocks and putting them around his head. Right? Is the idea of that? I'm going to build, right? I'm going to build myself. I'm going to build my children. I'm going to build my people, etc. Using what we call an understanding that every experience and every object and every record, everything that happens to a person in this world, one always has to search for the most primeval, if you were, right? The most fundamental stones of what this place or experience are built out of. And those most fundamental stones are not just the superficial events, but what is the Ratzon HaTorah, that's what he called, that's underlying this over here, right? What is the Ratzon HaTorah? What is the Ratzon HaTorah? We could drink the tea, right? We could drink the tea, and we drank the tea, right? So we could drink the tea, what do you call it? First of all, recognizing that, that nothing is ours until we make a brach on it, what do you call it, in terms of food. We could be thankful for what we received, right? We could realize that what do you call it, that this is aiding us in being able to, what do you call it, to be able to feel more at ease, and we're more tranquil as we're learning Torah. Or we could just slug down the tea, right? We could slug down the tea, or for that matter, the scotch, whatever it happens to be. Right, etc. So the what do you call it, the search for the avonim that one always comes into contact with in the world. Yeah, are we going to live life superficially or not?
The avonim representing
the fundamental God, building blocks.
What do you call the
osis of the Torah? Like the Sefer Yetzirah said that the letters of the Torah, right, are the avonim. They're called avonim because they are the most fundamental building blocks of existence. Right. V'Yakov b'chol mokom matza yesod v'ashoresh. Right, the fourth line in the, what we call the Sfasemes. V'Yakov b'chol mokom matza yesod. Matza yesod v'ashoresh even shukoach elokus shenimtza sham. He always found the yesod, the foundation, the shoresh, the root. Right, the even. Right, what does Hashem want from me over here? What does he want from me over here? That's the most fundamental building block, right, of understanding every event and every object in this world. Uchsiv, im avne asade brischa. It's a pasuk in what he called in Eov, right? It's in the bottom there, right? Ki im avne asade brischa, v'chayas hasade, right? Hashlama loch, right? The Avne Hasada, he's translating again, the Mefarshim there in Eov, we understand the passage differently. He says, the Avne Hasada, the stones of the field, are your covenant. In other words, wherever you go, you can find the true stones. What are the real building blocks? What does Hashem want from me over here? Sheish Avanim Va'osios Mustarim Mugnuzim Gambasade Bamidbar. Wherever you go, it's the fields of the deserts where everything looks desolate, but there is the fundamental building blocks, the letters of the Aleph Beis, the letter of the Torah that are hidden inside of everything. And that's what a person needs to uncover. And that's where we have a bris with that. We have a covenant with that. They're waiting for us to uncover them. Goshahayubi Mitzrayim. Bezis Mitzrayim. Ubezis Hayam. Right. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. V'lachein, k'siv. Therefore, it says at the end of the parsha, k'sharadaf Lavan Achrav, when Lavan ran after Yaakov, Amar le'echav liktu avonim. At the end, we call the parsha once again. We're back to stones again. Stones, rolling stones. Yeah, back to stones. That when Lavan meets up with Yaakov, he chases down Yaakov, and so they make a covenant. What do they use for to symbolize the covenant? They collect stones. They make a mound of stones. First, Yaakov erects a matseva, what he called a monolith, right? Which is what he called a symbol of Hashem's oneness, and that he's committed to that. And then after that, he cuts a collection of stones to show that we're coming together. We're going to form a bris. Now, we'll talk about this. You'll note that at the end of the Parsha, when he makes this covenant with Lavan, right, there's two separate things. There's the one stone standing, right, which is representative of Yaakov's, what do you call it, Emunah, and Hashem that is one. And then there's the symbol of the covenant that we're going to join together, right, and as we'll maintain peace with one another, and that's the collection of a pile of stones that remain separate stones. One pile, but all separate stones. Unlike the experience over here, right? Unlike the experience over here, when Yaakov is in the Makom HaMikdash, he collects the stones, and which we'll discuss in just a scooch, he puts them around his head, and when he wakes up in the morning, they're all one stone. No, look at the symbolism in what he called in the world, in the stones, right? Again, the building blocks the building blocks, the most essential building blocks of creation, the letters of the Aleph Beis, the words of, and the letters of the Torah, of the Torah, of the Torah. So in Yaakov's experience in the Makom HaMikdash, first he comes to grips, yeah, with the fact that the experience of Hashem is Makom HaShel Olam. And then in an act of Torah, once a person has established a healthy relationship through tefillah, in the act of Torah, he collects the stones and puts them around his head. Right? And then all of those stones, we'll see what the symbols in those stones are, all of those stones now become one stone. At the end of the Parsha, there's one stone that stands alone when Yaakov, what he called, meets up with Esav. He puts up a matzeva. That's the first thing. Right, and that matzeva has absolutely nothing to do with Lavan. You recall, Yaakov puts it up, and they don't discuss it. And then they collect a whole bunch of other stones and make a pile of stones. And this pile of stones is going to be representative of the record of the relationship we have with one another. And they're all together, but they remain separate. The symbolism is very, very stark. Very stark. Yeah. Right. Ukvosha. Yeah. It's so just like we find in Mitzrayim. Right? Just... Okay. Right. Of course, Yahya be Mitzrayim, Bezus Mitzrayim, Bezus Hayam, Keshechazu Lirdof Acharein Bayam. He takes note, it's similar, but he calls that even out of the experience of Lavan trying to kill him, right? But Yaakov drew out what the Torah's reaction to that was meant to be also. Right? He drew out what Hashem wanted him to draw out from that as well. Just as, says the Sfasem, it's just like when we left Mitzrayim, right? We left Mitzrayim, so we had the booty of Mitzrayim, and then when it looked, when they tried to chase us down, it looked like it was going to be curtains for our heroes, right? Then they had the booty of the Yam, and the Chazal say that the booty of the Yam was greater than the booty of Mitzrayim. And that's the idea being, because here, what they were experiencing, they had a moment of fear. But what we call, it looks like everything that Hashem is doing is being undone. They're going to catch us in the Yamsuf. But when they experienced the salvation from that, that became even a greater revelation for them. It was a greater level of connection. The Bezus Hayam was greater than Bezus Mitzrayim. So too also with Yaakov, right? Everything was clear when he was in the Makom HaMikdash, right? There is a, what do you call it? He feels the closeness of Hashem, etc., etc., etc. The closeness of Hashem, and he's building, what do you call it, etc. He understands that this is meant to be a watershed event for him, right? In terms of how he's going to live his entire life. And then at the end of the Parsha, it looks like what he called love is going to catch up with him and destroy him. And yet, he doesn't lose it there. He realizes there's something to be understood from here also. There's something to be revealed also. The way he deals with Lavan, that becomes his revealing the true stones of what are underlying what he called the experience over here. Rather than saying, "Wow, Hashem, you almost messed me up here. Lavan almost killed me," or whatever it was, right? Instead, he realizes what Hashem wants him to do over here, which is, right, to erect one single matzeva, which shows that he remains separate. He's connected to Hashem, who is one, and his way of life and Lavan's way of life have no connection whatsoever. And then there's the peace treaty between them. The peace treaty between them, which is the mound of stones. One mound of stones, but all separate stones. In terms of what the stones that he collected, how many stones did he take? So there is discussion in the Medrash, how many stones he took. So one approach is they took 12 stones. Right? There's one that says 3 stones, or 2, whatever, 12. So here we call it, so the Megala Mukos, right, says, Vayikach me'avne amokom, sod yud beis tevos shel shema yechudi ilah, uborch shem tato, lechein lokach yud beis avonim. He took 12 stones, right, representing the 6 words in Shema Yisrael, and the 6 words in what he called in Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. 12 stones. In other words, the idea being, right, we hear the symbolism over here, that he took 12 stones, one, what he called the statement, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that's 6 words, so 6 stones for that, and 6 stones, what he called Keneged, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. And at the end, they become one. In other words, this aspect speaks to the idea of the oneness of what do you call it, of proclaiming Hashem's oneness. We know they say Shema Yisrael is the upper. What do you call it? Hashem is Echad. He's Echad. He's one. Right? He's Echad. There is nothing. Ein od milvado. Baruch Shem says that even in this world where His presence is hidden, we're going to reveal that Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olamav. We're going to reveal His Malchus in all of the disparate and different and ups and down experiences of this world. We're going to reveal His oneness also over here. So Shema Yisrael reveals Hashem's oneness, and Baruch Shem is a different form of what he called of revealing Hashem's oneness. Or Shema Yisrael really, I should say, is a recognition of Hashem's oneness. Right? And Baruch Shem is saying that we live in the world where Hashem's presence is hidden, and we have to reveal His Malchus, and that's going to reveal Hashem's oneness. So that's one approach to the 12 stones that he took. 6 Keneged Shema Yisrael, 6 Keneged Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Ve'ed. The Yalkut, which is the 12 stones, represent the 12 Shvatim. Right? The 12 Shvatim. The 12 tribes. And they become one. So we have two aspects of oneness here. Right? Emanating from the experience of taking the stones. One is an aspect of oneness in terms of Benam Lamakom, right? Hashem is one. And when you call it Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad. And the other aspect of the Medrash, the Yalkut brings down, is revealing Umika'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad V'Oretz, that Klal Yisrael all unify, right? Around the goal of revealing Hashem's oneness, they become one nation, right? There's no period between them. There's no period between, there's no what we call division between them. In this light, so what he quotes, so also in Parshas Vayechi at the end of the Sefer, when Yaakov comes to give them brachos, remember, and the Shekhinah leaves him. So what he quotes, so the Gemara says, the Gemara Psachim says, Yaakov, what's the matter here? Why did the Shekhinah leave me? Do you have some sort of taina on Hashem? Are you upset with Hashem? Do you have claims against Him? Are you not connected to His oneness? Right?
He says that through the Shvatim.
That's through the Shvatim, because the Shekhinah left Him. He couldn't want to reveal to them what was going to happen in the end of days. And all of a sudden the Shekhinah leaves him. And what he called, he says, is there a flaw in here? Right? Or the other Mephoshim bring down, what he called, another Medrash, where he brings down, is there enmity perhaps in your midst? The Sefer Haredim brings it down, other Mephoshim bring down. So once again, he's asking here, I want to be able to reveal, this is Yaakov at the end of his life, I want to be able to reveal to you the path that you're going to have to take in order to manage, what he called, yourself to the end of days. So Shekhinah leaves him. Where does he assume the flaw is? Either the flaw is in your failure to recognize Hashem's oneness, right? Or your flaw is in your there's some sort of enmity between you. Once again, the same thing, the 12 stones. 12 stones either representing, right, called Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, or 12 stones representing the unity of the Shvatim. And what do they respond to him? They respond to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? And what does Yaakov see in return to them? Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. So we recall this is a pattern in Yaakov's life, what he called, from beginning to end, right? The search, what he called, for the ultimate, the most fundamental, revelation of Hashem's presence in the world, that what he called, what the Sefer Yetzirah refers to as the Osios, the Alaveis, referred to as stones. When we say, right, when we say in Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, we're going to say it tonight, Tzadik Katamar Yifrach, Ke'erez balvanon yiskeh. The tzaddik will flower forth like a tamar, like a date palm. Ke'erez balvanon yiskeh. He'll be powerful like what he called, like a cedar tree, like a cedar of Lebanon. Says the what he called, says the Medrash there. Tzaddik ha'tamar yifrach, Pirkei Rav Elazar says, Ma tamar ze no'eh, b'chol mareh, kol pereosav no'im imisukonim. A tamar, right, is beautiful in its appearance, and all of its fruits are sweet and pleasant. L'vnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenema Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach, Ke'erez Balvon and Yiskeh, and the cedar tree, Maha'erez Hazeh, Sharosha Merubim, this erez, its roots are many, right, Lamata, Ba'oretz, Afilo Ar Baruchos Bo'os Elav, even if the four winds of the world blow against it, Ein Mizizino So Mimekomo, Shenema Ke'erez Balvonon Yiskeh. The true Tzadik, on the one hand, bears sweet fruit, right? We say in Eilu Dvarim She'elem Shur, right? It's every morning, what we call the Braisa, after we say Birchas HaTorah. And there, the Dvarim, there, the Braisa talks about El Dvarim She'adam Olcho Perosein Ba'olam Azev HaKeren Kayemis Olam Haba. The things that produce fruits. Most of the things that are spoken about there are mitzvahs ben adam lechavero. They produce fruits in this world. The tzaddik is beautiful in that he produces fruits. But he's also like an heiress. He's powerful, right? In his faith to Hashem, right? He's unmovable. He's unmovable. So in terms of what he called, in terms of his being adam, what he called, lechavero, right? He's always producing fruits. He's always producing fruits. I mean, there's also Ben Olam Bakal Mitzvahs as well. But the eager thing that produces fruits in this world is what he called the Ben Olam Lechavero. So the creating of one's persona, is also built upon this, what he called this model. I.e., just like what he called, just like Yaakov realizes that when he comes to the Mikdash, he puts 12 stones there. One parish in the 12 stones is getting the 12 Shvatim, that there has to be unity, right, amongst what he called all of the children of Yaakov. One parish on the 12 stones is representing Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, what he called the recognition of Hashem's unity. So too, in Tzaddik HaTomar Yifrach Keres Balvon Yizged, the true Tzaddik, as it were, right? The true tzaddik is like a tamar that produces sweet fruits of his intimate, of his dealings with everyone in this world. He spreads Hashem's name and record through the pleasantness of his actions. Those are sweet fruits in this world. And at the same time, when it comes to his faith in Hashem, he's steadfast, he's unmovable, just like what he called the matseva that came out of Yaakov's collection of stones. So too, the cedar tree is immovable, says the Medrash. When a person is like that, so then it says, and we'll say again, once again tonight in Mizmor Shir Yom Shabbos, Shesulim Beveis Hashem Bechatzos El Kedi Yafrich. It says, oh, you're planted in the Makom HaMikdash. Shesulim Beveis Hashem, you're planted in the Makom HaMikdash. That's where your roots are. That's where your roots are. Right? Bechatzos El Kedi Yafrich. And then your branches, right, spread out to the rest of the world. In other words, if we recognize that the discovery of our true identity is to be found in our attachment to Hashem there in the Makom HaMikdash, that's where we belong. That is the source of our being. That is where we understand what our purpose in life is and who we are. So then it's key we're planted always with Beveis Hashem. And then our actions spread out, what he called, to all the other events and all the other places and all the other relationships that we come into counter with as we walk the face of the earth. Shesulim beveis Hashem and bechatzos elokeinu yafrichu, and in the courtyards leading out from what he called from the Makom HaMikdash, the courtyards leading out from the Beis Hashem, we give out what we call our boughs spread out as our tree expands, right, in this world.
Do you recommend violence for that?
Okay, we'll ignore that. Fine. Medrash Tilim says, yeah, Umisham Nasa Raglov, after Yaakov left the Makom HaMikdash, right, he traveled on to what he called to Haran, right? Visham Miniach Es HaBe'er. So interesting. There's a be'er, there's a well escorting him, just like the well escorted the Jewish people. In Miriam, in the Midbar, the be'er is always representative of the Torah, right? The Torah, what do you call it? The well.
After the first time he built the stones, he left the Midbar,
and he's beyond Haran, and then that's what the next pasuk says. Shaisa be'er malechas lefonav. When he came to Haran, what did he see? He saw what he called. He saw a well there. That's the first thing he saw. He came to a well when he came to Haran. That was the first thing he saw, a well, and there what do you call it, and there are three flocks around the well.
Loving was in Haran.
Right. Haran, right. Right. So take a look at the what do you call it, the psukim. Right? The psukim here on top of page 2.
You can literally follow him, like walk behind me.
I don't know how what do you call it, but the aura of the well went with it. Right. Okay, whatever it means. This is what he called. Look on the top page 2. Vayar v'nei be'er basadeh. He sees a well there in the field. V'nei sham shlosha edrei tzon, rov tzimaleha. I mean, the Mepharshim talk about with the three, what do you call it, the three flocks are talking about, maybe the Kohanim, Levim, what do you call it? It's such a funny thing. Why do I need to know how many flocks there are there? Right? Then there's all symbolism that the Torah is revealing to us. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, whatever it happens to be. Shoshi Edritzon, Rov Timaleh, they're all, what do you call it, they're sitting on the ground around this well. Kimina Be'era Yi Ashko Adorim. Especially the symbolism is referring to the flocks of the Jewish people, so they're waiting to be, as work, to receive their water from the Be'er. Veha Evan Gedola Al Pia Be'er. And there's a, it's a funny thing. Veha Evan, and the Evan, the stone, is big upon the mouth of the well. What do you mean, the stone? What's the stone? What's the stone? Right?
Not, singular means for plural. Males each.
Right, no, I agree. The question is, what he called is, why is it high Evan? It says it should be Evan Gedola. There is a big stone. Who cares what's the Evan, the stone? Right? Is Alpi the Be'er. And all record all of the herds gather there with the shepherds, and they record, and they can't get the record, they can't get the what they always used to do is when they all gathered together, they would pull off the top of the stone covering the well, and then they'd be able to bring out the water. But meanwhile, they didn't have enough people that would get it off because it's too heavy. And then Yaakov saw Rachel there with their father's sheep. Right? Vayigash Yaakov, Vayogeles ha'Evan me'al pia be'er, Vayashkes stone lovan achimo. He rolls off the stone by himself. Says the Sfas Emes. But Pasuk, Vayevan gedola al pia be'er. Vahavin alomer ve'evan gedola. Right? The Sfas Emes asks the question. It shouldn't say ha'Evan, the stone. What's the stone? This is what, it's the Hope Diamond. Right? It's a stone. What do you call the stone? The Rem is over here. Once again, the world of stones. Yeah, the Yetzahara is often referred to as an Evan, as a stone. Right?
Really?
Yeah. It's a stumbling block, just like a stone in the middle of your path. You stumble over, so too the Yetzahara, one of the names of the Yetzahara is where it goes, is a stone. Hmm. Right? It gives a person a lave Evan, gives them a heart of stone. Vayevan michshol yetzahara who nimtza bechol makom, right? The yetzahara is everywhere, right? Aval al pi ha-be'er who gadol biyoser, but what do you call it? The biggest problem with the yetzahara, he's everywhere. He's always there to trip you up. But the worst thing is when he's on the pi of the be'er, when he's on the mouth of the well. V'hu she'enu miniach liftoach ha-peh betfila, she'avoda she'belev, she'bechinas ha-be'er torah she'bal peh. Right? In other words, in order to live, right, a life, a dynamic life of Torah, which is to link up with Torah Shebal Peh, right, which covers every aspect of a person's life, a person has to, what do you call it, has to create the canvas once again through tefillah. But sometimes the Yetzahara is like the stone, right? The Yetzahara, the stone, the worst stone, right? Is on the mouth of the Be'er. It prevents the person from being mispalel. And once he's not mispalel, once he can't be mispalel, he can't bring himself to daven properly, so then he's blocked from the Torah. V'chol magamas ha-Yetzahara la'akev ha-tfila. Right? That's what the Yetzahara wants to do, is the eker, it's the eker avoda that it wants us to do, is to block us from tefillah. It's true, it's trying to trip us up in different things, in different averas and things like that, but the eager thing it wants to block us from is from tefillah. Because once you have tefillah, that becomes the canvas, and upon that appears the portrait, immediately begin to paint the portrait of Torah in a person's life. But if there's no tefillah, so then a person is really caught, is out of luck. A person is out of luck. So the biggest issue of a person's what he called the Yetzirah is the blockage to tefillah. The Chol Magamas Yetzirah LaAkev, right? Tefillah Keadua LaChol Oved Hashem. Anybody who's an Oved Hashem knows that's the biggest problem. One who conquers the snake, i.e. the Yetzirah, he's able to marry the daughter of the king, i.e. the Torah, right? The Emes Ki Ein Eitzel Tefillah. Right, there's no surefire way, right, to overcome this. Rak kefi avodas ha'odam b'chol ma'asav kachu yochol liftoach peh b'tfila. The more the person tries to keep himself attached to Hashem through every action, right, the more he has the capacity, as it were, to remove the heavy stone and allow himself to be able to daven. In other words, if I'm going to walk into davening, right, after having just, what do you call it, cussed somebody out, right, or what do you call it, if I walk into davening after, what do you call it, after not behaving properly when I got up in the morning, etc., so it's going to be tough for me to daven, right, it's hard to get that stone off. L'chein karua avoda shebelev shetoli bishtokikus alev b'chol yom b'chol ma'asav. Right, it's called avoda shebelev because it's through the service of one's heart, the struggle to keep one's heart connected to Hashem all the time as best as possible, that enables the person, right, to be able to daven, which in turn enables him to go further in his connecting to Hashem through all his deeds and all of his events of his life. Right? That's the idea, the symbolism. They're all gathered together to get this the blasted stone off the mouth of the air, right? Maybe it's a remez to the koach of the tzibur, right? To the koach of the tzibur, the people, right? Everybody called, right? And as they needed, usually they needed everybody to get together, but Yaakov, the tzaddik, right, he was plugged in. He could pop it off like a cork. Chazal, Yaakov ksiva yagel dorshu kemavir apkak malachavis. Right, he took like the cork, right, off what he called off a wine barrel. Haremes.
The people weren't connected at all.
No, they weren't connected. Right. They continued. Haremes.
Rachel could have done it herself.
Kind of read or not, but whatever. I don't know. But
yeah, why did he kiss her the first time?
That would what he called that. That's a different topic. Haremes, record. It was a salutation. Haremes, ki atzadik yodea umevin ki zeh even utov l'shmira meula. Why is he what he called the? It's a heavy stone, right? And the tzaddik also knows it's a heavy stone.
Right.
But everybody else, because they see the heavy stone, they say God is trying to block me from connecting with Him. And the tzaddik says, I know he's not trying to block me. He's trying to, what do you call it, to get me to use my strength to take it off, to grow from it. In other words, the difficulty of, what do you call it, of dealing with the Eitz HaRa, to everybody else says, what do you call it, God, why did you give me such a hard time? Hashem, why did you give me such a hard time? You don't like, you hate me, you put stumbling blocks in front of me. And the tzaddik knows it's to help me grow. It's to help me grow. Right, what do you call it, it's good, what do you call it, that shmira me'ula, that pkak on top of it. The person who's not connected, he says, "Oh, he's trying to block me off, right, from doing it." But the tzaddik understands, yeah, that no, this hevich is latova, very similar to what he called the Shem Yishmuel brings in Parshas Baloscha when they left Tarsin. He brings in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov says on the pasuk, "Yinahagenu al mus." Hashem will guide us, so the Chazal say, almus, almus, one word, meaning like a child. Hashem, just when a child needs to learn how to walk, right? Children need to learn how to walk. So if you hold him all the time, he's not going to learn how to walk. So when he takes a step, and you got your hands out there, so he feels what he called, you know, that you're there for him, but you move back, 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 so he can learn how to walk. So someone foolish, right, call, looks like you're trying to abandon him. But someone who understands, really know, the heavier you're trying to give him the strength to be able to walk on his own. So too also the difficulty in removing, what he called, removing the Yetzer Hara from the pekak of the Be'er. In other words, what he called, to remove the Yetzer Hara, which prevents a person from davening, to be able to connect this entire system. So for everybody, what he called, sees the difficulty, right, Shem, you're making it too hard for me. And the person who understands, realizes, no, you're hell trying to make me grow. All of the events of life can either be seen as, what he called, Shem trying to assassinate me, or what do you call Hashem is giving the opportunities to grow. Again, even things that we call, God forbid, we should always be spared from punishments, right? We should always be spared from punishments. But even though the painful experiences of life, right, you can look at it and Hashem hates me, right? And he never hates me. He doesn't hate me, right? I can grow from it. I can fix my ways from it. And finally, the last thing is what we were discussing before, right? The last thing we were discussing before was what he called were the stones. What he called once again the stones. Come back to the stones again. Everything, the whole parsha is about stones. Stones in the Makom Hamikdash. Stones in the field there in Haran. And finally, stones. What he called of when Yaakov is returning to Eretz Yisrael, and what he called and Laban catches up with him, and it looks like what he called it's not going to be a happy moment, etc. But in the end, what he called they make you a bris between the covenant between the, but note the covenant. Yaakov erects one Batseva, and that's representative of his belief in Hashem's oneness, and on that there's no discussion with what he called Lavan. But he called your culture, my culture, have nothing to do with one another. There's one Matseva. Oh, we have a peace agreement between us. What's that peace agreement represented? Once again, by stones. But there, the stones are all separate stones. They never become one. They become, they're a mound all together, many stones together.
Lavan built his own.
No, but he called, again, Yaakov was the one who put together the whole thing, right? They call the covenant Gal-Aid, right? The pile of testimony, etc. But once again, the pile of testimony, they always remain separate. The one pile, but they remain separate. And that's what he called, that's the way Yaakov is going to guide his life. He knows how to deal with what he called with the outside world, right? When it comes to his personal private world, the world of his family, the world of his children, the world of his nation, right? So all the disparate stones all become one. That's what we saw in the Makom Hamikdash. 12 stones, whether it was the 6 of what he called of Shema Yisrael, the 6 of Baruch Hashem, or the 12 of the different Shvatim, but they all become one. It's all one unity, right? The Ata Echad, Veshimcha Echad, Mika'amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz.
So what do you think Lavan agreed to this one pile?
Because that's Lavan's world. He's not interested in what he called. He doesn't have from the oneness of anything. Latava Yivakesh Nifrad, like the Pasuk says. Right? A person who wants to live a life of pleasure, so he always wants to be separate. So the most you can have is what he called one pile, separate stones. Separate stones. Okay. Bezer Hashem.
Well.